Please pray with me. Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of thee. Amen. Back in the old days, in my young childhood, I spent it outdoors running around playing games with all the kids on the block. As you might expect, some of the noise and craziness was not appreciated by the adults. There was a neighbor who would frequently ask one or all of us, "Who do you think you are?" Usually we had stepped over some visible or invisible boundary, and then he would come rushing out of his garage asking us that question, "Who do you think you are?" before launching into a diatribe about kids these days. Who do you think you are? This question came back to me as I was reading today's gospel in preparation for this sermon. Who do these tenants think they are? The landowner did everything necessary to make his land be productive and establish a fruitful way of making a living for some workers. He planted vines, fenced the vineyard to protect it, and leased it out to workers who would tend the vines as they matured and began to bear fruit. They were merely tenants, stewards of the property owner's assets, required to give him a fixed percentage of their produce or a fixed amount of money for the privilege of earning a living by tending the vines planted by the owner. The owner is merely collecting what is due to him by sending his servants and then his son. And the tenants? Well, they have forgotten who they are. They think they own these crops and this vineyard. They use violence to claim control for that which they do not have legal control, for they are merely stewards of this vineyard. Now, this is a harsh parable from Jesus, one of the three that is fired rat-a-tat-tat at the religious leaders of his day, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. Jesus had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem just the day before, and it must have wigged out those religious authorities. So they begin to question him about his authority and his teachings, and Jesus doesn't hold back as he indicts them all. In this allegorical parable, Jesus himself is the son of the vineyard owner, isn't he? Slain by the greedy and power-hungry religious leaders who claimed control but failed to produce the fruits God the Father expected from them. Fruits such as righteousness and justice, love and peace. Who do they think they are? The vineyard will be taken away and given to those who produce these fruits, Jesus declares. This is a violent parable, which is spawned violence for centuries, for millennia. Rather than being good stewards of the gifts given, Christians have used this parable to produce fruits that are not of the kingdom of God. It, along with a few other scriptures in the New Testament, has historically been used to justify anti-Semitism and persecution of those of the Jewish faith under the mistaken belief that this story proclaims God's judgment on the people of Israel rather than on their leaders. Leaders who had not been good stewards of the vineyard of Israel. They had not produced fruit of the kingdom. In violence, we forget who we are. In violence, we forget who we are. 20th century novelist Mary McCarthy penned these words more than 50 years ago in a brief article about crafting characters when writing fiction. The words were written in what seemed such simpler times back then, before the violent social upheaval of the latter 1960s. And I have seen McCarthy's words quoted frequently over the last few years. Sometimes it seems that we have forgotten who we are as a society. I don't know about you, but I am sometimes overwhelmed by the violence, both deeds and words, we routinely observe or experience, particularly after weeks like this one just passed. It seems in my short preaching life that it always is my turn to preach after one of these events. I preached after the shooting at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, the Orlando nightclub shooting. Someone reminded me this morning I preached after Charlottesville. Now Las Vegas. Events such as these reveal how fragile our lives are, that we clearly do not have control over them. And it's kind of scary, isn't it? For most of us have managed to fool ourselves into thinking that we do have control over our lives. Maybe that is the dark side of our American can-do spirit. We think we are or should be in control. But if you spend time with anyone who has struggled with a terminal diagnosis, you will learn what they have learned. Life is pure gift. It's not something we can possess or control. My friend Beth struggled with metastasized breast cancer for 20 years, wanting to just mother the two young children with which she and her husband had been blessed. Beth managed to get one child in college and the other in high school before she ultimately succumbed to the disease. But in those years in between, she didn't fight cancer, fight to stay alive. She lived fruitfully, giving to others, helping others in her same boat, as she fought being defined by her cancer. She fought being defined by the effects of her treatment. In his letter to the Philippians read today, the Apostle Paul clearly defines that life is about losing rather than seeking to control. He points out that he had all the credentials to be a religious leader of the Hebrews. He was circumcised as required by the law, a member of one of the favored tribes of Israel, a strict follower of the law, a Pharisee, and it even persecuted the followers of Jesus to prove his zeal for his faith. But after his encounter with the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, he gave up all those credentials, all those advantages, for the gift of knowing Christ and following Christ into whatever lay ahead. No matter the violence that was inflicted upon Paul, there is no account in the Acts of the Apostles or in any of his epistles that reveals Paul responded with anything other than acceptance and sometimes compassion. He never forgot who he was, for he was in Christ and his faith was in Christ alone, not in his credentials, his citizenship, or his zeal. How will we let the events of Las Vegas define us? I saw stories of those in Las Vegas who chose to not let the violent actions of this sniper define who they were. They turned to rescue others, render aid to others, carry others to safety through the shower of bullets raining down upon them all. Who did they think they were? Superheroes? No, They were just those who chose to not let violence define them, not let the violent action of another allow them to forget who they were. We have numerous options in response to events like these, don't we? We can be sympathetic and go on our way with the belief that this can never happen in Waco. Or we can become fearful, arm and barricade ourselves, literally and figuratively, futilely attempting to prevent anything like this from happening to us or those we love. Or we can work to make our society safer for the innocents like those cut down this week in Las Vegas. We can be the stewards that bear fruit, fruit that demonstrate that although we might not have control over our lives or over the behavior of others, we can still be those who tend this vineyard of the Lord's and bear fruits of the kingdom, for the glory of God and for the benefit of those around us.